Okay, pretty good group. What I'm going to actually do now is I want you to take a minute and look at your gift tests, and I want you to pick out the four highest gifts. Just tick them off real quick, and then I'm going to go down the list and just score them. If you haven't been here, you don't know what I'm talking about, and that's okay. The four that you scored highest on. If you didn't use that little worksheet to combine them, do your best. Just give it your best shot. I'm sorry, what? Oh, we're not doing that right now. This is if they've already done their gift test. This is one of those dynamic introductions to a speaker when they get it. Everybody figure out your score, and I'm standing here waiting for them. Has everyone pretty well identified them? A lot of people are still looking. Okay, in the interest of time, I'm going to go ahead and move on anyway. What I want you to do now is I'm going to go right down the list, and if I call out one of the gifts that you have that's one of the four highest, I just want you to put up your hand, okay? Everybody understand what we're going to do right now? Nod or something. Okay, thank you. Just want to make sure. Okay, administration. Mayor, why don't you help stand up and help me count these things, because some of these are going to be quite a bit. You get that side. Apostle, that would be interesting if there's anybody. Good. There's usually one or two. Discernment. One, two, three. You got three? Evangelism. Deliverance or exorcism. Gosh, that's not a surprise. Oh, there's always one. Okay. Exhortation. Faith.
Keep them up.
Okay. Giving. Healing. Helps. Hospitality.
This will be a big one.
Intercession. Interpretation. Knowledge. Leadership. Mercy. Miracles. Yeah. Missionary.
Wow.
Prophecy.
I can't even put up my hand. That's not one of my four highest either.
Service. shepherd pastor. Teacher. Tongues. Voluntary poverty. Everyone's favorite. It's right up there with martyrdom. And wisdom. Okay, thanks. Okay, thank you. One other thing that I want to just share a little bit. Again, if this is the first time you've been here, what I'm going to share now may not make a whole lot of sense either. I want to talk just for a couple of moments as a reminder about prophetic words. I know we taught about that right at the beginning, but now that you all have experienced it, some of what I'm going to say will make more sense than what was going to make sense a week and a half ago. And I want to encourage you that as you get prophetic words, first of all, to write them down, to pray over them, to interact with your pastors or your small group leaders with them. I want to encourage you not to make any major decisions based on prophetic words. It has to be written in your own heart. It has to be confirmed with your leadership. Prophetic words, no matter how accurate they are just one confirming method. Or they're planting something in you to begin to propel you or to move you in a direction. But don't make any major decisions based on that, okay? I don't want to hear a year from now that, you know, you got a word that said you were going to be in ministry, so you quit your job and you're sitting at home waiting for God to just, you know, put you into ministry or something, okay? Okay. There's three parts to getting a prophetic word. One is just getting the word. That's the first place we start. We spend a lot of time trying to look at that. But there's two other things that are related to prophetic words that we need to spend just a moment on. And that's where most of the mistakes get made, is not actually in getting the word or receiving the word. It's in interpretation and application. Once we get a word, we have to interpret what that word means in our lives. Now, some of the things can be very clear, but others might not be quite so clear. And so, when you get something, particularly if you're not completely sure about what it is, go back to God. Say, what does this mean? How does this fit in my life? What are you really saying? Place where this gets confused often is if someone has a particular goal in mind. If you came and saying, I've got to hear about my job or my career, and your grid is looking at whatever kind of a word you get through the grid of, I got to find out about my career, it's pretty easy to misinterpret what the word is all about. God might be talking about an entirely different area of your life, but if that's all we're looking for, it's easy to misinterpret it. So I want to encourage you to spend a little bit of time thinking about, and again, talking with your leaders about how you're interpreting it. And then application can also be an issue. Sometimes we get a prophetic word and we're so excited. We've been waiting to hear it. And so it feels like to us that it has to be today. It's okay, God has called me to do this, and I'm off to do it today. And it's not necessarily so. I think I shared last week that the first prophetic word that Mary and I got about being pastors was in 1991, and we didn't become pastors until 1999. So even though it feels like it, or maybe sounds like it's an immediate thing, it's going back to God and then not only saying, what does this word mean, but when is it going to happen? How do you want to unfold it in my life? When are these things going to happen? What's the first step I need to take in order to participate with and cooperate in what the Holy Spirit's going to do in my life? So I just wanted to say just real quickly, just getting the word doesn't mean you stop everything and just go do what that word says. It's a component of your entire relationship and hearing from God. It needs to be confirmed. It needs to be balanced. And then go back and say, okay, God, now what? What do you want me to do in light of what you've spoken into my life at this point? How do I begin walking this thing out and participating in with your Holy Spirit in how you want this to look? Okay? So you'll do that, right? Sam's not going to write me back and say, 8 people just quit their jobs because, you know, God's called them to do something else. Okay. You guys are laughing, but you just wouldn't believe, if we had time, some of the stories I've heard about people and how they've responded to prophetic words. It's really just quite alarming. Yeah, that's probably a good word for it. Thank you, hon. Last night, Sang shared about her development and how she has stepped into the development of her spiritual gifts. And many of you came up and mentioned how blessed you were. And tonight, Gloria is going to come and share her journey as she has developed and worked on finding and developing her spiritual gifts.
Okay, so I was thinking about, okay, how should I share 7 years into 5-10 minutes? So basically, I'm going to break it down into three parts. The first part is going to talk about how I developed the gifts that I knew that I had. And for me, it meant basically my natural talents, my interests, my passions, and the skills that I had. Okay, so those were the gifts that I knew that I had that I've been developing. The second part of the gifts for discovering the gifts has been the unknown gifts, the gifts that I didn't know that I had that I really needed to explore and step out into. And the third thing that I've learned over the past time is that everything you learned last week about hearing from God is really the common thread that really knits all the gifts together. And what it also does, it brings your natural gifts and talents sometimes to a different level because you're hearing from God in a different way. So that's how I'd categorize my experiences. The first thing I'm going to talk about is the known gifts. And when the last time I did the test, it came out as my strengths being in teaching and shepherding. And the way it's been translated in my life has been my passion for discipleship. And down the road, it's going to be me leading a house church. I know God's leading me to do that. But 7 years ago, I took a series of discipleship classes, EG being one of them. I know a lot of you are taking it. And, you know, once I finished a lot of the classes, the leadership at the time asked me to lead some discipleship classes. And there was just such an excitement in me to do that. I really enjoyed really just building relationships with women, young women, who were going through similar things or things that I had already experienced. And really just seeing such an excitement about seeing them grow in the Lord through lifestyle changes, identity, where God was leading them. And so that's what I started to do. It really took off. So, you know, in 1 year I was leading maybe 6 or 7 groups. I trained some other people in it in terms of how do you facilitate small groups? How do you, you know, really build a group where it's dynamic and people are going to grow? And the way I trained was I went to some conferences. I watched my own discipleship leaders and I watched the way they did it. There's some really great books that I read on shepherding, leading small groups and all that. So that's how it happened. But the main thing was I actually had to do it. And learning through it and getting feedback and really getting encouragement from that. The other one that through my life, I know that God has given me a natural gifting is in the area of wisdom. For some reason, people and friends have always come to me for advice. They've always asked me for input and perspective into different things. So in high school, I was on the executive, the high C, at church and at different organizations. I've always been asked to help out in leadership and give counsel, and so right now I'm on the board at our church as well. And I really could feel God's presence when I spoke out his wisdom and his advice and really feeling that anointing, and people would always say, yeah, that really feels a peace about it. But then 4 years ago, I really felt like, okay, you know what, I'm really comfortable in those areas, but I know God's calling me to something more, because I felt like my known gifts were kind of lacking. Like, I knew that I could go up a level, and I heard God tell me, I want you to go and learn more about the prophetic, and hearing from God, and discernment, and deliverance, and spiritual warfare, and intercession, which was all like, whoa, like total outside my comfort zone. But I really felt like that this was a season. So I stepped into that. I put the discipleship and all that on the shelf because I really felt like God was leading me into a different season. And I went out to a bunch of conferences. I'm really fortunate to be from Toronto where there was the outpouring, and I went to some conferences. One was led by Mary Audrey Raycroft, and she was amazing in really doing teaching on what is discernment, what is knowledge, like all the spiritual sides of things. She really gave a lot of teaching, and every conference that was available, I ran to it. Everything about where they were teaching about spiritual giftings, I went and I... And then in came Rob and Mary 4 years ago, and having them as a resource, being there at our church, they were such an awesome mentor and coach, and they really, you know, really encouraged me and people in our church to step up into these different areas. And just hanging out with other sisters who were really excelling in, like, intercession and prophetic and discernment and all that stuff. And so that's how it all started. I think one of the key launching pads was when I joined the intercession group, because that's the real hub of where you're learning. It's the training ground for hearing God. And when you're in a group of other people who are intercessors, and you're coming every week and they're reporting out, I had a vision of this, I had a dream of this, and the Lord downloaded, the Lord woke me up at 5 o'clock in the morning. The first year I was just like, yeah, I had a good week praying. Yeah, it was really nice, and I just prayed for people that the Lord brought up. But for the first year, it was kind of like, I was like, you know, Lord, what am I doing here? But you know what? That's what I'm saying. You have to explore, and you have to just see. And what I learned, I've been in part of the intercession group for 3 years, is that there are different kinds of intercessors. I'm not the typical list intercessor. I'm not the type that gets all excited about downloading information and praying about, you know, every day for like 2 hours and stuff like that. But what I really feel a passion for is warfare intercession. Like, I like it when I'm in a crisis, when there's a spiritual battle going on, and God is raising up people to pray through a situation. So I feel that God's called me to release, like, to be like a breakthrough intercessory anointing. So when I see people and they're stuck, and I see there's warfare and that there's something impeding the release of what God has already done for them in the spiritual realm, and speaking it out in the physical realm to see it released on the earth as it is already done in the kingdom, that's the anointing that I feel that has really been released. And I've had the opportunity to pray for people and see spiritually why they're not experiencing certain things, and really speaking it and praying it out and seeing it released. And, you know, so many opportunities at church. And then joining the ministry team is another opportunity where we got training to learn how to minister to people, delivering prophetic words. The other area where I was been really trained is also in the area of discernment and deliverance. And that has come about through our inner healing ministry at the church as well. And when you're counseling, and I've been doing it under the leadership of Rob and Mary, you know, people who need, you know, freedom from certain areas, you need the Holy Spirit to tell you what's going on here, right? So that's what it's really been, me just being really open to try different things, to step out of my comfort zone, getting as much opportunities and experience to get trained. What it's meant today is that, I'm going to give you examples of how it's taken some of my natural interests to the next level. Like, for discipleship, if I lead discipleship now, it's different than when I led it 7 years ago, in the sense that I can hear God now. So I can more effectively relate to the people in my group in a different way. If I lead a house church, if I have to pray for people in my house church, I know I have the confidence knowing of how God wants to move this group. What is the direction of the Holy Spirit? How does God want me as a leader to facilitate growth in that person's life? So that's how it's really taken off there. Inner healing ministry, I've always had a passion to really help people who have, you know, inner hurts and all that, to the point where I did major in psychology and I have a social work background. So I like talking to women about and giving counseling, but that's one aspect. When you also have the discernment and the deliverance, that's a totally different supernatural side that really brings breakthrough in ministering to people's lives as well. So I'm just bringing these examples how God can take the natural skills and the talents that you have, combine them with some other giftings, all enwrapped with hearing from God, and you've got a great toolkit to use in ministering to people, and you experience the flow and anointing in operating in a different way. And it's so much fun. It's changed the way we do church. It's changed my experience, and it's fun. And you just don't want to go back to living an ordinary life anymore, because you really see the impact that you have on other people's lives. So just to encourage you, just to keep pressing in all the steps that Rob talked last night about. Just, you know, look at what you have now, your skills now. Be open to trying new things. And what Sam didn't tell me to say this, but when you are invited by leaders, when leaders in your church extend an invitation for you to step up and participate, accept it. because a lot of times they see something in you and they're encouraging you to step forward. And even though you feel like you're not ready, do it. And you'd be surprised at how much God will bless you for doing that.
Okay.
Once again, the ladies have preached the sermon. I'm just going to get up and talk for a while. We're talking about spiritual gifts. We as the church owe the world an encounter with God. Anything less, and we're not being the church. We talked about hearing from God, and that's where everything starts. If we can't hear from Papa, we're not going to get anywhere. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. He says, I only say what I hear the Father saying. That's the fundamental position we have to start from. That's why we talked about it last week. But the exhibition of that, that demonstration of the kingdom of God to people, comes through spiritual gifts. And we owe the world better than, can I be honest? We owe them more than what we've shown them so far, by and large. They look at us and they see a whole bunch of rules about do's and don'ts, and that's not any fun, and everybody going to, you know, church looking like they've been sentenced to hard labor in prison for 5 years. I'm going to church, praise God. Yep, it's Sunday afternoon again. I'd rather be watching the ball game or whatever. We owe them more than that. We owe them an encounter with God. If we are not bringing the impact of the presence of the Holy Spirit to people throughout our work week, we're shortchanging them according to what the Word of God says. Really. That was just such a great testimony. Thank you, Gloria. Do you want to do it different? Do you want to do it different? See, because if you can't speak out once in a while here in church, you're never going to do it at work. It just ain't going to happen. You aren't going to witness in your apartment building or anything else if you can't do it here. Talking about developing spiritual gifts, we talked about five steps last night. We're just going to review them real quickly, that we need to explore the possibilities. You've got to know what's out there. You have to experiment with these things. You won't know you have them until you actually go do it. You need to examine your feelings. It's fun doing that. Gloria and Sam both said, you know, it's just like the most fun thing we've ever done. I can't imagine just going to church again, you know, and just sitting there and singing a couple songs and going home. It's like, how boring would that be? Evaluate your effectiveness. If you've got gifts, they ought to work. If they're not working, go get them fixed. God gave us this stuff to accomplish things for the kingdom. And then we can expect confirmation from other people. There's just a couple patterns that are real interesting here in Solomon's porch. And one of the things I think is really encouraging is that so many people have the gift of faith. And we'll talk just a little bit about that in a minute, because there's one of the gifts that we don't often understand what that looks like. But that's an encouraging thing. There was a lot of service and hospitality, and there are probably a number of people that have that, but I want to suggest there are probably people who scored high in that don't really have that gift. But oftentimes in church, what do? Well, you know, you put out the cookies and you go set up the tables. And so when you take the spiritual gift test, you remember I said last night that many times the spiritual gift tests are at least partially based on your experience. And if all you've ever done is set up chairs and put out cookies, then you're going to score on hospitality and service. And you may find out that you have a whole lot of other gifts. I am able to serve people, and I am able to be hospitable, and I have neither of those gifts in much quantity at all. But I can do it, but they're not my gifts. I don't feel that pleasure and the passion of God that I do when I'm doing other things. So I want to encourage you about that if you scored high in those gifts, or fairly high in those gifts, to be open to looking for more, because you may well find out that you actually are going to score a lot higher than others. A question someone asked, okay, sometime while we were here, I can't remember anymore what night, but they said, "Do if you focus on one set of gifts, like Gloria said, she set aside discipleship for a while and then stepped into this area of intercession and inner healing and all that, do the other gifts go away? Do you lose that anointing?" And the answer is no. Romans 11:29 says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He doesn't take them away. What can happen to gifts, however, is they can atrophy. If you don't use them, you kind of forget how they work. They just kind of, like a muscle you never use, gets kind of shriveled and shrunk. And if you don't use the gift, it'll kind of, you'll forget how to do it. It'll kind of, like, you'll lose the fluency in it. But it will come back if you begin to use it again. And yes, you can collect them. You can get new gifts as you need them. I was sharing earlier today with a few people, up until about 5 years ago, I had zero interest in leadership. I never wanted to be a leader. I always wanted, I never even wanted gifts. I had to be in front of people. And I think it's very bizarre of the Holy Spirit that every major gift I have requires me to be in front of people. Somebody was not listening when I filled out the application or something. I don't know. But I had no interest in leadership. But then when God was leading us to Toronto, well, if I'm going to be a pastor and lead a church, I better find out about this gift. So I said, okay, God, you got to give me this gift. Remember, we talked, we desire these things. All of a sudden, me, who had no interest in this gift, all of a sudden said, okay, I'm ready to desire this thing. I want this thing now. I had no books on leadership in my library. I have a half a shelf of them now to do that. And I started working on that thing and finding out about it and talking to people who were leaders and what do you do and studying leaders and reading about leaders in the Bible. And, you know, it's just like, that's just all I was focused on. The last time I took a spiritual gift test before I took our whole church through this last year, and it was my fourth or fifth highest gift now, because I'm really focused on this thing. You can add to that, and yet I didn't lose the other gifts. I still have all the other gifts I was using. God wants to put a whole lot of stuff in your toolbox, in your spiritual toolbox. It's not like you got this one little thing and you're walking around going, okay, I've got encouragement. Now if I can just find somebody to use it on. Do you need encouragement? Can I encourage you? You know, it's like you're walking around with this gift. I believe it's different. I believe, and I think Sam teaches it, but by the way, you all know, those of you from Solomon's Porch, if I ever teach anything different than what Sam teaches, Sam is right. Okay? I mean, he has to live with you. I get to go home and, you know, all that kind of stuff. If he teaches something different, he's right. Okay? You got all the gifts. You have access to all of the gifts. Who gives the gifts? Holy Spirit, right? Anybody have the Holy Spirit? You got all the gifts. You got the guy who gives them out. It's more a matter of, are you using stuff when you need to use them? I think it's kind of like you've got this tool chest and you're sitting at home, you know, with your Holy Spirit tool chest and it's empty. And you go walking out to do the job and you walk up to someone who has a need and you go, what's your need? And you communicate the need and you open up the tool chest and guess what? You got the tool for the job. You know, you don't pull out a Holy Spirit wrench when you need a Holy Spirit hammer. He gives you the tool you need. I mean, can you imagine, you know, Paul going up to somebody, you know, and they need healing. And he goes, you know, what can I bless you with? He says, I need healing. I said, sorry, I got the gift of apostleship, but no healing. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, that's just like weird. He'll give us what we need. And so the more that you can experience this stuff, the more that you become familiar with how it works and you experience it in your own life, he's just going to keep adding to it. I think I scored about 60% of the gifts now. I'm over the 50 percentile on them because I just have collected them along the way and I just use them all the time because they're kind of handy to have around. I'm pretty dumb without the Holy Spirit, so I use it a lot. Many of you, even in the gifts that I saw, had quite a few gifts that had really low scores on them. That does not mean you're not gifted. What that means is you haven't done very much yet. You haven't experienced very much yet. As you begin to go out and experience these things, you'll start to score really the scores will come up on these things because experience will increase it. We had a great time with the group, hearing from God, practicing some skill tests today and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, Sarah, have you recovered from the heart failure yet? We had a good time with it. But I guarantee if you begin to press in to develop that, you take the test a year from now, you guys are going to score considerably higher on prophecy and probably a couple other gifts that link with it. So don't be discouraged if you've got a lot of low scores right now. That just means you've got a lot of opportunities to step up and do things. There were particularly low scores in gifts that require the Holy Spirit to be there. Something like deliverance. You know, you either got it or you don't. That's not when you can go out and practice at work. You either have the gift or you don't. Healing. God either shows up and heals or he doesn't. That's not something you can kind of like, you know, like the gift of administration can go either way. You can use it in the natural and you can have it, you know, revved up and in the power of the Holy Spirit. But you can be there without that. That's why a lot of people scored high on hospitality. And service is because you can do that without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's more fun when you have the anointing to do it. But some of these gifts, you have to have the Holy Spirit be there. It's not going to happen. And that's why a number of you scored real low on that. Now, we had you take two tests as well. The gifted to serve test and then the Houts Wagner one. Most of you, if you ran the... Can I borrow this just for a second? If you ran your little score sheet and you put them side by side, you saw the gifted to serve in the first column and the Houts Wagner in the second. If you look at them, virtually every one of your scores on the left column, the gifted to serve is going to be higher than the one in the Houts Wagner. There's a reason for that, and that's why we picked two of them. The one on the left is more tilted toward, are you interested in? They have words like, are you interested in? Have you ever thought about doing? So it helps to pick up areas of interest. Like on this one, there's 16 and 17 and 14 and 15. There's some real high numbers. The same gift on the other one, the Wagner Modified, there's like 7 and 4 and 6. And all that means is, and all of you had that, by the way. Virtually everyone had that. I don't think anyone who had very many gifts that were higher on the right side than on the left. All that means is it shows you areas you're probably interested in developing, gifts you would like to participate in, but haven't yet really got the experience behind it. So you might want to consider looking at those as ones that you may want to develop in the future. That's all that means. It's kind of an indicator to say, this might be an area of interest you'd want to decide. Looked at a couple of them. You know, Dave, you had one, like, there was about 14 difference between the interest side, or 12 or something like that, interest side, and the more experiential side. That's probably one you want to go find out in, because there's a lot of area of interest, but it's not happening quite so much in practice. You with me? All that's going to do is just help you to see, boy, God, I want to do this thing. So you go out and get some of the experience of doing that kind of a thing. You'll notice when we raised hands on this thing that... only one person right now had prophecy as one of their top four gifts. In our church now that we've done this and been doing it for several years, it's likely that about 50 or 60% of our church has in the top half of the percentile the gift of prophecy. I mean, they do it in small groups, and there's people on the ministry team, people in intercession and stuff. It's just a normative part of being in our church is hearing from God. And your church is going to get that way too. So just because it's happened now, it's only because you haven't experienced it. Healing, one person had that, and it's probably because it was really high in the interest side. I want to suggest as you begin to pray for healing, and we are going to pray for healing tomorrow in the service, I want to suggest that you're going to get a whole bunch more people that are interested in that as well, and the gifts are going to start to come up in that. So just because they're low, are you with me? Doesn't mean you don't have them. It just means you haven't experienced them yet. That's really important because a lot of times people look at this and go, I have no gifts. Okay, forget it. God hates me. I'm going to walk around with my little spiritual wrench and that's it. Forget everything else. Okay? One other thing that's important. Just because you scored high does not mean the gift is really functional well yet or that it's developed. It means there is the potential to do that. You need to step out and do it. But work with God as he works with your character while he's building the gift. And the best way to work with your character is to go do the gift. I hear people all the time say, well, I'm really, don't want to step out in healing because I'm just really afraid of getting off in pride. Do not worry about it at all. You'll pray for a few people. They won't get healed. You'll get humbled real quick. It's just not an issue. It's like so not an issue. How do you deal with pride when you pray for all these people and you get all these words right? Well, get a couple wrong ones. That'll take care of it. My last couple have been real public, too. That's like you want to get taken down several notches in a hurry. I was at YWAM one time, and I got the right word, and I totally misinterpreted the word. And I'm talking to this woman about having a kid, and she's single, and everybody's like, and finally I go, okay, I don't need discernment. I've really screwed this up. But I said, okay, what's wrong? She says, well, I'm not married, and I have no children. I'm going, and I'm the guy there who's going to talk about this, this gifting and hearing from God and everything. Okay, I've really got this together, don't I? Fortunately, my wonderful wife had the appropriate interpretation and bailed me out a bit. Your character gets developed as you do the gifts. If you say, okay, God, when my character is really developed and I'm full of love for Jesus, then I'll start stepping out and doing this stuff. No, you won't. You'd never get enough. It's like, if I just prayed a little bit more, it would work. Well, how much is a little bit more? If I just had a little bit more love, if I just had a little bit more character, and then I can start. Do you know Jesus said, go out and preach the gospels and make disciples, lay hands on the sick, they will recover? That was not an option. It wasn't like, if you feel like it, or if you're fully gifted, then I'm going to commission you to go do this thing. He never said that. He just said, go do it. And in the doing, the gift is going to develop and your character is going to develop. Are you with me? Don't buy into that thing about saying, I got to get all holy before I can do this stuff. No, doing the stuff gets you holy. Because you're going, oh my God, you got to come here. I'm going to, stick my hand out there and ask this person to get healed. And, if you don't come, God, this is not going to work. That'll fix your character. It's a process, and I just want to encourage you in that, okay? I want to talk for a minute about a couple of gifts that people kind of have a misunderstanding about, and Sang alluded to this last night. One of them is administration. We have a couple of great administrative people in our church, and one of them, I remember when we took the spiritual gifts test, and we went around to all of our small groups and talking about it, and she found out something she already knew, that she had scored very high in administration. And so she gets her test back and goes, oh, administration, like she'd just been, cursed by the, demon or something like that. It was terrible. And we tend to think of administration as being a really ghastly thing. I would to God I had a few more administrators around me. Because I don't have that gift, and I'm not good at it, and I don't feel the Lord's pleasure in it. But administration is not just about doing menial, task-oriented columns and figures and telling people what to do and mind-numbing kinds of activity. That may be what it's like when the world does it. But when God puts his anointing on it, what happens to a person with a gift of administration is they're able to hear and understand the communicated vision from leadership and pull together resources, whether it's people or material or whatever, into such a way that they can put together how to make that vision come about. It is a cool gift because they can take the concept and bring in what's necessary to execute the vision. That's what an administrator can do. Oh, so-and-so's got, anointing to be able to do this. Someone else has this gifting to be able to do this. This person's not busy and they would fit well in here. I know we need to be on track to do this. And all the kind of things that make that work. That's what an administrator can see. They can bring the vision of leadership, first of all, to understanding, and then put all the parts together to make it work. If you have, and there's, 12 people or 11 people said they had the gift of administration, When the anointing of the Holy Spirit is on your gift, and Sam says, here's what we're going to do, it's like there's something in your spirit that says, and I know how we can do it. I know what it's going to take to make it work. It's a great gift. Okay? You a little encouraged? Those of you who go, yeah, it was mine. Okay? Sang is much happier since that happened. The quality of her emails about, you know, the whole worship team has improved ever since she found out it was about taking vision and bringing resources together and making great stuff happen, executing the visions to accomplish goals. The gift of helps is not the same as the gift of service. There aren't a lot of people that actually have the gift of helps. But the gift of helps is such a wonderful gift. The gift of helps uses their talents in a way that facilitates other gifts. They use their talent of helps to facilitate other gifts to fully function. Anytime we travel, or I travel, or Mary travels, we always take someone with us. And we really like, if we can possibly find one, a person who has the gift of helps to go along with them. Here's why. Back in Los Angeles, before we moved to Toronto, there was a person who had gift of helps and was really good. And this young man, I took him with me a number of times. And here's what gift of helps does. Here's what gift of helps doesn't do, or people who don't have it. They just try to do nice things or come along and just, you know, try to make things work. They don't always know what to do, but they do things that are somehow helpful. The people who have gift of helps, I can only explain it to you. I don't know how they do it because I don't particularly have it. But they've got like this Holy Spirit radar that they know what someone else needs. And they just show up and it happens. It's kind of like, do any of you remember seeing MASH, the TV show MASH? Radar O'Reilly had the gift of helps. He just showed up and he was always there and he knew what to do. When I was traveling one time to Chicago, I took this guy with me. And as is typical in a lot of times when you're doing this stuff, I finally got out of the church on Sunday to catch my plane back. And, you know, I was praying right up to the last minute. And I told this guy, I said, okay, you know, I'll call him Fred. Fred is my mythical name for everybody that I always use. I said, Fred, make sure I get all my stuff because I'm going to be talking and people are going to want to come up and all this kind of stuff. You know, kind of like what's happening here, that people keep coming new because they hear about stuff and they want to be a part of it. So make sure I got all my stuff. So I just, as soon as they get me out of the church, I get into the car. I don't even know where anything is. He just says, I've got it all. Don't worry about it. I'm going, okay. So the pastor gets in the car and then two other people get in the car. So on the way back to the plane, I'm praying over these people who got in the car at last minute stuff. And I go, oh. Where is this, you know, this airport is moving away from me as we're driving. I just want to get to the plane. And so we get out of the taxi or the car, whatever we were driving in, and we get into the airport. And it's finally this break. And he hands me a clothes bag and said, here's a change of clothes for your ride home. Go in the airport. I mean, go in the washroom, change your clothes, and get comfortable with the ride home. I'm like, oh, okay. So I just get it. Got the clothes all there. I come back out, hands me a soft drink, hands me my ticket and my boarding pass. That was before you had to do all the stuff you have to do now. Hands me my ticket and my boarding pass and says, our gate's over here. And all I had to do was walk there. Helped, the gift of helps facilitated me to be able to interact with people and took care of all this other stuff that I would have had to think about. That's what helps does. That's another reason Sang gets to go on so many of these trips is because she's got it for Mary, and Mary always takes her because she's got that gift that she just like shows up and the stuff all works really well. Find the people who have this gift in your church. They're just wonderful people to have around. I haven't really found a guy up at Acts that has that yet, so it's like, oh, come on, where is he? He's hiding. Do you understand what I'm saying? It facilitates other gifts, ministries. And there's just an understanding and a knowing of how to do that. It's a really great gift. If you've got some of that or you've got a real heart and an interest to do that, I would encourage you to explore and begin to develop that. Your pastor will love you for it. the gift of missionary, and I'm not surprised this church scored real high in it. You had a bunch of people who had that. The gift of missionary does not mean that you're called to Africa to live in a grass hut for the rest of your life. Two people said amen. I got more amens on that than anything else. We were doing this in our church. We were doing that in our church, and I came to one of the small group meetings, and the guy was a little bit late. He walked in. Henry walked in a little bit late, and he goes, "This test is wrong. This cannot be right. This is a mistake." Because the second highest gift he scored on was missionary. He's thinking, "Man, I'm off to Africa, and I got no calling to live in the dirt and with grass and all that kind of stuff, and I don't want to learn, you know, the whole thing." He's just like terrified about it. This test is wrong. And probably a couple of you were a little concerned when you saw the gift of missionary show up. All the gift of missionary means is whatever gifts that you have are easily transferable across cultural boundaries or boundary lines. That's all it means. That you're comfortable having somebody who's Chinese, Caucasian, Sikh, Swahili. Doesn't really matter. You can, whatever gift it is you have, like if you have hospitality, you can have any of them over. I remember Mary and I were doing a little bit of counseling with a Sikh couple. And I was like, oh God, what's their culture? What am I going to do? I don't know how to do this thing. I'm going to do something wrong. I knew there was something about the Bible. You're supposed to be really honoring of the word of God with Sikh people. And I'm like all worried about this stuff. And do we got to do this stuff? Somebody who's got the gift of missionary and has the gift of hospitality, they can come in. It's okay. They're just going to make it work, and they feel comfortable with it. So whatever, if you scored that gift, and in Hong Kong that makes sense because this is such an international city. If you have that gift, it just means whatever else you're gifted in, you can do it cross-culturally relatively easily. Okay? And all the people who had that and were afraid they were off to Africa, they go, phew, thank goodness. I want to talk just a little bit about tongues and interpretation. I think there's only one person here who scored higher than 2 on interpretation of tongues. But there are quite a few people, 8 people, who had it in their top 4, the gift of tongues. So what's going on with that? There's 2 things, and the main one is likely to be this. What it means is you use your prayer language a lot. You just pray in tongues, like when you're praying and intercession and that kind of a thing. It may not be that you have the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues, as it's talked about in a public setting, has to be coupled with the gift of interpretation. In other words, we've done a lot of prophetic ministry. We could have spoken over you in tongues and got interpretation, but that takes twice as long generally, so we don't do that very often. Public gift of tongues has to be coupled with interpretation. So if you scored real high on tongues, and a number of you did, but really low on interpretation of tongues, you either haven't had the opportunity to interpret it, but more likely is you just use the gift of tongues, your private prayer language with the Lord, you just use it a lot in intercession. And that's okay. But this gift gets kind of skewed a little bit. Mary scores high in both of them. She actually can give messages in tongues and interpret them in a corporate assembly like this. I score real high in tongues because I use them. I pray in tongues a lot in my prayer language and when I'm waiting for the bus and several other kinds of things. But I've not very often interpreted in a public situation, so I don't really have a lot of that gift. Do you see the difference? You can score high in one, and likely you just pray in tongues a lot using your private prayer language. If you score high in both, then it's likely you have the public gift of tongues and interpretation. Okay? Any questions about gifts? Okay, they're fully ready to go. We expect a full-blown activity. I can see on this list of things that there's about 2/3 of these gifts where you've scored, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 people in Solomon's Porch that have this thing. So it ought to be a pretty fully functional church, Sam. This is good news, and they're all ready to go. And everybody's laughing because it's like, no, actually, I have about 5,000 questions, and I'm too scared to ask. But that's okay. What we're going to do now, and we're going to take a fair amount of time, and again, if you haven't been here, I apologize that this is going to be a little bit, it probably is going to make a lot of sense if you haven't been here very much. But what we're going to do now is a work to take out this worksheet for developing a spiritual gift. The church is full of knowledge. We have so learned so much in the church, and we've done so little with what we've learned. We've got books on everything. We've got books on how to study books about, you know, discipleship or evangelism. There are, I'm sure, hundreds of books on all different kinds of giftings and stuff. And yet, by and large, the church doesn't use any of them. We don't know anything about them. The reason we're going to do this, the whole reason you did activations the last two afternoons, is because we have to do the stuff. That would have been a really cool place for an amen. We have to do the stuff. The church, Christianity is a verb. It's not a noun. If we're not doing stuff, we're not being Christians. I'm going to start preaching here in a minute if we aren't really catching this thing. No, I'm not. In the interest of time, I'm not going to do that. But I would like to. Because, honestly, we've been here for two weekends. You have the option of one of two things. This can either have been a really interesting and exciting experience that you tuck away and say, wow, wasn't that conference good? And wasn't the word that we got fun? It was so fun to pray for each other, and we talked about these gifts, and I found out what my gifts were, and wasn't that fun? And it's just an event, and your life's no different. Or you can begin to do something with what we've talked about and have a lifestyle change. But you've got to do the stuff. And this is one more way to help you begin to do something with what we've talked about. I really believe Solomon's Porch is a church that's going to do something with the things that are spoken into them. I really believe that. I know your pastor, he's not going to let you just sit here and just fill up chairs. He'll light it up underneath you. And that's his job. You all are the ministers. He's the equipper. Lisa's the equipper. I'm the equipper. According to Ephesians 4, it is our jobs to equip the saints for the works of ministry. You guys are the ministers. Don't call me the minister. I'm the equipper. That's my job. That's Sam's job. We're equipping you to go out and do the stuff. Nod or something with me. Okay. Part of the equipping. You ready? I'm going to go through this real quickly so you know what you're supposed to fill out with this. I'm going to give you about 20 minutes to actually work on this thing and fill it out. And then we're going to do one or two other things right at the end to close. And then I think we're going to switch gears to something else. Obviously, your name and date. Remember your homework from last night. You had to pick out one gift that you want to work on for the next year. If you weren't here last week, then get a download from the Holy Spirit in the next 30 seconds or so. Identify where you're currently using this gift. And you can put nowhere if it's a gift that you scored real low on, but you're interested in developing it. But if you're currently using it someplace, in other words, it's just a place to start. It's like an assessment of where am I right now. So fill that thing in. Areas where I could use this gift. If you don't know where this gift can function in Solomon's Porch, talk to your pastors. Talk to your core leaders. They've got places for you. The core team here does a lot of stuff, which means the rest of you have a lot of opportunities to step into some of what they're doing because God's going to raise them up to do other things. I hope they got that, but anyway, we'll press on. Biblical examples to be studied. Remember, another part of your homework was you were to find two passages or people in the Bible that are doing the gift that you want to develop. Now, you certainly need to find more than that. Just to make sure you understand, let's say you decided to develop the gift of leadership. Who might you study in the Bible if you were going to study about leadership? Paul. Moses might have had the gift of leadership, but if you read the definition, I'm not so sure he had the gift of leadership. But who close to Moses definitely had the gift of leadership? Joshua definitely had the gift of leadership. If you read about leadership, leaders, people want to follow them. People didn't really want to follow Moses very much, nor did he particularly want that capacity to do that. He was kind of thrust into it, and he functioned in the role, but I don't know that he really had the gift for it. Joshua definitely had the gift for it. David, people followed him all over the place. Nehemiah would be one I would recommend if you're doing leadership. Nehemiah is a really good one for that. So you want to be putting those things down for that. If you're taking a gift like, let's say, healing, there's maybe not one person that typifies that because a lot of people did that. What you want to do with a gift like healing or prophecy is you want to get instances in the Bible, passages in the Bible, so that you can study them and see, how did these guys do this stuff? You want to get really familiar with this, that it becomes a part of who you are. So you want to be writing these things down. If you know none now, of course, those of you who were here last night, you've got at least two because you did your homework, right? Yes, of course you did. So you want to find these things out so that you become really familiar with them. People in Solomon's porch with this gift. Now, last night I said part of your homework was identify somebody in your church that has the gift, and you cannot use Sam and Lisa because you always use your pastors and they do all that stuff. Find somebody you can relate to. As you fill this out, if it's a gift that Sam or Lisa is moving in, put them down because now you want to connect with them. But you want to try to find people in your church that also have this gift so you can spend time with them. Hang out and talk about it. Now, there's several intercessors here. If you don't know who each other is now, you need to find out. I think we're going to do something later that will really help you find out really quickly. But you want to hang out with these people and talk about what you're getting and how it interacts. If you want to develop the gift of healing, find out about the ministry team and get on that thing and hang out with people who are involved in healing. Okay, so you want to put down people if you know them. If you don't know anybody has the gift, then put no one. But that might be part of what you want to fill out later. The next thing is an activation plan. This is going to look a little bit corporate, and I know that. But I also know good and well, you remember from university, when did you finish most of your papers? Day before it was due. If there was no due date, it didn't happen. Yeah, 6 a.m. of the same day it was due. Okay. Some of us waited a little bit longer than others. The reason why we're doing this is you want to start to get a plan set out that over the course of the next year, here's at least some of the steps right now of what I'm going to do in order to develop this gift. And we talked about some of them under the, exploring the possibilities and all the kind of things we talked about last night. That's what you're filling in here. I want to encourage you, be as specific as possible. If you say, if you know the name of a book, put that down. I'm going to buy the book and I'm going to have it read by a certain date. If you know somebody, doesn't matter if it's in this church or not, if you know somebody who can mentor you, I'm going to meet with Lisa 3 times over the next calendar year to talk specifically about my gift or whatever it is that you've got. But you're going to start filling in things here and, yes, put dates down. You'll probably add more things as you find out, more of what you need to do. But start putting things in there right now. Here's what I'm going to do. It may be go to a conference. We have a guy in our church who found out he had the gift of healing, which was really surprising because he had never prayed for that. But he started praying for healing. People got healed. And one of his goals, he says, I don't even know how this is going to happen, but one of my goals is to go on a missions trip where I can use the gift of healing. And in 2 months, he's flying to India with Todd Bentley to do a healing conference in India. Yeah, nice, isn't it? Didn't even know that was in existence until about a month ago. So he's going to go do that. That was one of his goals. I'm going to go on a missions trip so that I can pray for people who are sick to develop this gift. You put down things like opportunities in the church to do ministry. Are you with me? Are you hearing what goes in this section? Okay. When you get that far, I want you to stop. It's 10 minutes to 9. I'll give you about 15 minutes, and I'll see how far we are with that. If you have any questions, I want you to put up your hand. Sang and Gloria and Mary and I will be available to come and help you with it. But start filling that thing in. You're setting out a plan to develop a spiritual gift in 2004.